number 37 of the 64 principles. Naivedya manam tosi vimishram visheshata parajalena shiktam yosnati nityam purato purare prapnoti yagyukta koti punyam. This is a quotation from Padma Puran. It's called Naivedya Swad, tasting the Lord's remnants. This is a devotional principle which we are very keen to observe. Tasting the food remnants of the deity. He who always eats outside the inner sanctum, the remnants of the Lord's food sprinkled with water from the Lord's lotus feet, mixed with tulsi, achieves the results of 100 billion sacrifices. So this is, it says inner sanctum. So this requires some clarification because there's sometimes some confusion in the minds of devotees. In various temples, they present Mahaprasadam to guests or to members of the community. Sometimes I remember in Los Angeles, every Monday they would announce the weekly results of Sankirtan book distribution. And whoever distributed the most books, they would give the Mahaplate to that devotee. It was type of a presentation. And they would be given the actual deity plate from the pujari. And of course they would take it back to the transfer room. But the temple president just wanted to show that the special reward that a Sankirtan, successful Sankirtan warrior would receive. So in front of the community, there was about 400 devotees at the time. They would say, so-and-so distributed so many books in number one. So then, please come forward. So he would come forward. This is quite a nice situation. And in front of the whole community, in front of Rukmini Dwarkadish, that devotee would become recognized. And then the temple president, the pujari, would take the plate from the altar that was offered. And they had these big silver trays, about this big, handles on it. It was usually, Mangalartik sweets. There were lots of sweets. Burfi and sweet rice. Sandesh, rasgulla, gulab jamun, all of our favorite things we can only dream about in India. We never see such transcendental mahaprasadam, hardly ever, at least especially out here. But they would come, and the bhajari would stand there, and he would lean over and hand you the tray, and then you would take the tray, and then you would walk out the side door, and everyone would clap their hands. And of course, you didn't run away down the street with it, although you wanted to. But you would go actually out the side there by Prabhupada's Vyasasana, and then actually back to the deity room. I mean, what they call transfer room, and transfer the Mahaprasad. And then the idea was you were supposed to take that transfer plate and save it for the rest of the Sankirtan devotees that all live together. Then we take it to the Sankirtan room where we all live together. And then it was supposed to be locked up until breakfast. But, honoring the Lord's remnants is one of the devotional principles. And this is number 37. So most devotees are masters of this is the 37th limb of devotion. Now some devotees are quite expert at mastering this principle of honoring the Lord's remnants. And there are stories told that sometimes the Sankirtan devotees would take the full plate of the deity's maha back to the Sankirtan room. Instead of locking it up, they would lock it up inside their bellies. Lock, stock, and barrel. They would eat or honor the whole everything. The huge cup of condensed milk, that was also there. And sandesh and burfi and rasgulla and Ladu and so many things. Two by two, everything two. And then breakfast would come and they'd say, where's that Mahaprasadam? And then Sankirtan leader would open the locker where it was supposed to be locked and say, oh, it's not here. And then, what happened to that Mahaprasadam? Oh, I don't know. Somebody must have taken it. So like this, devotees have their different pastimes about Mahaprasadam. But the confusion here lies in the honoring of the Mahaprasadam in the temple room, because the injunction says the Prapnoti Yagi Yuta Koti Punyam. It says Naivedya Manatulasi Vish. It says in the commentary of Vishnu Chakravarti, it says that one should not eat Mahaprasadam in front of the deity. So there's a couple of meanings that should be clarified here. It's Naivedyam. Naivedyam is the Mahaprasadam given directly from the taken directly from the Lord's plate. And it's some small item of prasadam. It can be a flower garland, a tulsi, charan tulsi with sandalwood on it. It can even be a milk sweet or some simple prasad like this. And if someone receives that, they cannot eat that in the deity room. Like sometimes the pujaris, they go in and they clear the tulsi from the Lord's lotus feet. Well, they can't just say, okay, nice. Right inside the inner sanctum, the Garbha Griha, or whatever you want to call it, the Sanctum Sanctorium, the deity room, as we would say in ISKCON. It is an offense to eat, to do that, even the Naivedyam, like pop up. You're clearing the plate, and before you clear the plate, you pop in a rasgulla in front of the deities and take the plate to the kitchen, without touching your mouth, of course. So that would be an offense. But when you're in the temple room itself, it's quite the reverse. That is explaining that Krishna Murari, he becomes very happy. He's very happy to see the devotees eating, honoring his Naivedyam. I remember sometimes not knowing the purports or full meaning of this section of Nectar Devotion, because in Nectar Devotion there are no tikkas, and it simply says one should not honor prasadam in front of the deity. That's what it says in our Nectar Devotion, which everyone follows or tries to. So then I can remember also myself, there's somewhere in India or anywhere, even our own temple, someone gave us Mahaprasadam, a piece of Mahaprasadam from the altar, then we'd take that and go outside the temple and hide behind a tree somewhere, and so where no one was looking, and then eat all that Mahaprasadam. Or if there's nowhere to run, like it's a city temple and you can't really go anywhere except the temple, and go in some corner behind the Vyasasana, or somewhere hide from the view of the deity, or the deities, the three kotis or altars are here, but then there's some wings on the side or some columns, and hide on the side, and then come back, and then go watch and come back in front of the deities. Somehow try to uphold this principle of not eating before. But then it says that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, he says that chewing, what it means in front of Murari means chewing tambul in front of the deity would be forbidden, but regular eating is not forbidden in front of the deity. So this is based on the Padma Puran verse, because sometimes the Naivedyam is the tambul or the pan remnants of the Thakur, Archimurti, or the Lord, Krishna or Narayan. And the Vaishnavas, the devotees, accept that pan and they also take it in general, Vaishnavas in general. But to eat pan, because it's slightly intoxicating, and the pastime is Lord Chaitanya took some and fell unconscious. So from that point on, we were advised by Lord Chaitanya, the followers are not supposed to take pan, deity's pan. So we don't. And Prabhupada Nectar Instruction refers to tambul or pan as an intoxicant. So even though it's Mahaprasadam, that's no excuse for taking the Thakurji's pan. So this Vishnu says one cannot take this, I guess, because it's so much enjoyable or whatever. But other Mahaprasadam, if we take a little sandesh or some sweet we're given in front of the deity, Krishna is actually very happy to see the devotees take prasadam, his nirmalya. Otherwise, nirmalya, because in the category this verse says nirmalya or naivedyam, it says naivedyam swado. So when this is actually specifically food remnants, which comes under the category of nirmalya. Garlands, food remnants, it's all nirmalya, but this is naivedyam. Naivedyam is specifically food, naivedya. So this is the clarification that no, you're not permitted to eat any type of food in the deity room. That's an offense. But yes, in the temple room itself, you can honor some small portion of Naivedya, and the Lord's very happy. But of course, there is the old adage, when in Rome, do as the Romans. Because you may have higher knowledge and may know some higher principles of behavior, Vaishnav Sadachar, but those that you're living with may not be aware of these principles. So to preserve the peace in the community which one lives in, and knowing how people are very critical in Kali Yuga, we should behave accordingly to keep the peace. But we know that if I go in a temple, say I come to India, there are no temple devotees around with me, and the pujari gives me a ladu or a sweet, then I can take that ladu or that charan tulsi, or the tulsi and the ladu, or the tulsi and the sweet. I can honor that directly in front of the deity, and that honoring that naivedyam in front of the deity will give great pleasure to Krishna. And it can be honored in such a way that you don't touch your lips, and I mean, you can just throw it in and don't even have to really wash your mouth or anything. But if you are in the temple somewhere and people only know the nectar of devotion, oh, Amayatma, he took a piece of maha in front of the deities. He was eating in front of the deities. So then the rumor, it'll go around the community that he's a big aparadi, and although Vishwanath and Jiva, they say that, you know, actually he's giving pleasure to the Lord, but the community that he's living with, not knowing the full purport of all the yamas and niyamas, they become offensive. So the devotee is always careful to act in such a way to not create an offensive situation. Just as the liberated souls, they behave often like neophytes in order to set the example. Liberated souls do not have to perform Ekadasi Vrata. And if one is over 80 years old, if he's under 8 years old or over 80, he doesn't have to perform any kind of Vrata at all. But to set the example, even the old sadhus that are 90 or 100 years old, I remember Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, I had seen him at the age of 100 years old doing Nirjal Ekadasi. So according to Shastras, which give the recommendations, the Shastras are telling us everyone must observe Ekadasi, and those same Shastras that are ordering that as an injunction are saying, if you are under 8 years old, you do not have to observe Ekadasi, and if you're over 80 years old, you do not have to observe. The idea, if you're under 8 years old, you don't know anything. And if you made it over 80, you must be liberated by now. So there's no need for purification anymore. But the great souls will still observe the rules to set the example. So in both cases, we follow rules and regulations to set the example for others. And we also, which is behavior, even if we don't have to, even if we're not bound by that behavior. And we also act in such a way to make sure people don't become offensive. So this is it's very difficult, it's not very easy to master the art of Vaishnava Sadachara. But if one learns the principle of humility, then he can understand how to direct his discrimination in all circumstances. That's why it's so much emphasized as the primordial devotional principle of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Because if humility is our ornament, sadavushanam, then Krishna will give all the proper intelligence to make the right choices at the right time. So that's why there's so much emphasis on trinata pisunicheno. You know. Think of oneself as lower than a straw on the street, be more tolerant than a tree, and amani, ready to offer respects to all others and not expect their respect in return. So this type of dainya bhav, Gaudiya Vaishnava bhav is dainya bhav, the utmost humility. You first, me second. Everyone above me below. You take the high seat, I'll take the low seat. Here's Mahaprasad, what do you want? I'm serving the Mahaprasad, let me keep the plain rice. You take the sweet rice, you take the rasgulla. It's like this. Bhakti Santa Saraswati, we're talking about this principle is 37, Naivedya Swado. Naivedya Swado Yata Padme. Padma Pran's telling Naivedya Swad. Hindi, everyone knows this Swad. Means to taste or to eat naivedyam. Those small portions of Mahaprasad offered to the Lord is naivedya. So, interesting story about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wanted to understand, he already understood, but he wanted to illustrate to others his servant, after serving Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati his lunch, his servant would take his clear his plate and take his plate of remnants to the brahmacharis in the temple. You know the story? And then he would bring that prasadam remnants, and there would be one of his favorite preparations, which was drumsticks. We call them drumsticks. They hang from a tree. They're kind of a sabji that hangs from a tree. Some are thin and some are thicker. It's like some kind of, I don't know what it is, hangs from a tree. I've seen them. And the Vrindavan Parikrama Marg, there are some drumstick trees. Because in Western language, if you play drums, they use little sticks, and like in a wedding party. I think Indians are more familiar with wedding parties. Some guy has a pair of drums and he's going crazy on this drum with two sticks. He has two sticks, you know, like a machine gun. And everyone's dancing like monkeys down the street. And some guy's sitting backwards on a donkey and he's all dressed up with a turban and he's going off to get married. So-called marriage party. I guess if that's a party, that's what they call it. So these are drumsticks, and so they're about 12 inches long. So they look like, you could say, well, what is that? Well, it looks like a drumstick. So they're called drumstick sabji, vegetables, sabji. So they cut them up in small sections, and they fry them and cook them in water and boil them, so many things. And put mustard oil, usually cook them mustard oil. So it was a favorite, and it's supposed to be very good for it. Oh, gallbladder or kidneys or something. The sabji is supposed to have medicinal effect. And it's really a hassle to deal with. It's all string. You take the sabji and chew it. You ever had it? You chew it, and it's all string. You can't swallow the outside. The inside, the pulp inside the fibrous vegetable, the pulp is somewhat, at least you can swallow it. And you get that pulp out, and it's supposed to be good for you, and it's all mixed up with salt and mustard oil, and it's a typical Bengali wild sabji. And then all these strings and stuff that get in, fibers that get in your mouth, you know, you could put those out on your, not on the plate, which is in the fence, but on the floor, which we think from the West, we think we should put it on our plate. Everything is upside down. We think, well, I shouldn't put this on the floor. I'll contaminate the floor. But the plate of Mahaprasadam is shud. It's called shud. I forget what it's called, shud vastu or whatever. It's pure substance. This is Mahaprasad. So this is called uchista. After we've eaten something in our mouth, then it's called uchista. And then when that comes out, that's ashud, that's contaminated. So we put that contaminated thing back on our prasadam plate. The other items will become contaminated by our uchista. And what to speak of being spiritually offensive to Krishna's Mahaprasad, it's also a source of disease and germs because there's so much bacteria and bad things in that from our mouth, and then you mix all that, it's highly muchi. So we have to learn these fine points of culture because we would be trained, oh, don't put that on the table if we were in the West. Why are you putting something from your mouth on the table? Put it on your plate. Then we come to India, they say, don't put that on the plate, put it on the table. So as usual, in India, everything. If you want to know the right thing to do, when you come to, what I developed when I first joined ISKCON, I thought, whatever the right thing to do in the material world, just do the opposite, then you're doing the right spiritual thing. In America, it's quite correct and it's quite right to eat meat, fish, and eggs. It's very correct. It's right. It's correct. Everyone eats. So then you want it to be spiritual, then don't eat meat, fish, and eggs, right? It's quite correct to drink whiskey and smoke cigarettes. So you want to be spiritual, don't drink whiskey and don't smoke cigarettes, right? It's quite correct to chase girls all over the place and women to chase men. So you want to be spiritual, well, don't chase girls anymore. It's real easy. You know, you want to be sattvic. Well, in the West, they stand up and pee like horses. Men pee like horses. So this is highly unhealthy, first of all. And second of all, it's not Vedic. It says that only horses pee standing up, but human beings squat down, men included. But with the invention of pants, then that became very difficult if they're skin-tight pants. So many things. So these are the fine points of devotional practices, so we should learn them and then learn them, but then don't flaunt them. And see, look how much I know. I know all these fine points of Vaishnava etiquette, and then show off in your local temple by when someone gives you a sweet, and says, look at me. look, he's eating prasad in front of the deities. I'm calling the temple president. He's an offender. And you're quite self-righteous about it. I know I'm doing right, and this is correct according to Shastra. But then you upset the community. But when you can properly follow this principle, the main principle is that we shouldn't honor a complete feast in front of the deity. Because the idea, we have to trace, in anything in Krishna consciousness, we have to trace the basis. They say don't mistake the trees for the forest, or forest for the trees, whatever that phrase is. I always get confused. But the essence, what is being taught here? Is it just principle? Is it just rules and details and regulations that are being taught? Or is it an attitude? What's actually being conveyed here is an attitude, a mentality, a bhav. It's called bhakti bhav, the bhav of bhakti, the mentality of bhakti. So sometimes we get lost, and that's why one can never enter the path of raganuga sadhana, because he gets lost in vidhi. He gets lost in, okay, I'm offering artik to the deity, four times to the feet, two times to the waist, three times to the head, one, seven times, two, three, four, or was that five? Oh, four, five, six. Okay, seven. Was that eight? Oh, it was eight. Oh, I'm sorry. I did eight. Please. There's no bhav. It's just firm, rigid attachment to the rules. Of course, that's there. But underlying every rule, there is a bhav. There's a mentality. There's a backing. There's chanting Hare Krishna. It's syllables. It's akshar. It's ha and re and Krishna and na and ra and ma. But if it's only syllables, akshar, and there's no bhav, then there's no progress. Progress is practically nil. Benefit is there. There's some sukriti, agyata sukriti is accumulating there, and some purification, but slowly and small quantity. So the greater the backing, the realization, the mentality, the proper adjustment of mentality and the infusion of feelings into all the practices and principles of bhakti, then faster and deeper the result. So the principle, why is the 37th limb of bhakti, nectar devotion of bhakti rasamrita sindhu, this is number 37. You've heard 64 limbs of bhakti, 64 angas. Well, this is anga 37, naivedya maswado, naivedya swado. Swado means to taste the naivedya, the small portion of maprasadam, to taste, to honor, to taste. Swadhyo doesn't mean honor. Honor would be man. Man. It says swadhyo. Swadhyo means to taste. So Krishna is happy if we take in front of the deity a small amount of mahaprasadam. Because Bhagavan kushi, bhakta kushi. Guru kushi, bhakti kushi. Guru kushi, Krishna kushi. Kushi means happy, satisfied. So what do we sing every day? What makes a guru happy? Chaturvidha Shri Bhagavat Prasado Svadana Triptan Hari Bhakta Sangan Kritvaiva Triptim Bhajataksadeva Vande Guru Sri. Triptan. Triptan means satisfaction. And what is he saying? Chaturvidha Shri Bhagavat Prasado Svadana Triptan. Swad means tasting. When the guru is very happy, when he sees his disciples, swad, tasting the four kinds of foodstuffs, he's very happy to see the devotees, his disciples and the general mass of people taking sanctified food. Krishna prasada gives him great thrill, satisfaction. So if the guru, who is Krishna Preshta, the representative of Krishna, if he's happy to see us take prasad, won't Krishna also be happy? Won't Krishna also be happy to see us honor prasadam? Yes, the answer is yes, he'll be very happy. But he won't be happy if they leave the deity doors open during the Sunday feast. Hey, give me some more sweet rice. Hey, some more halva. Hey, I only got two scoops. You know, at the Sunday feast, and they're serving out the feast, and Aditi's there. The acharya is, although we may think that way in our speculation, but the acharya is saying, no, these doors must be closed. The idea is that we don't compete with the supreme enjoyer. We don't try to out-enjoy the Lord. We don't sit down and have a huge chapan bhog feast in front of the deities. Krishna, look what I'm having, a big feast. See, look, it's very good. This is not correct. So the principle is, I am a servant. I'm serving as prasad seva. Prasad swad seva. We're tasting the prasad. That is the action of the body. The body is tasting prasad. Prasad swad, naivedya swad, it means tasting. There's five kinds of taste: sweet, sour, salty, bitter, pungent. But then there's a bhav. What is the bhav? The bhav is seva. It's called seva bhav. Prasad seva bhav. So when we say prasad seva, it's called a prasad seva prayer or something. Sharira vidijal, it's called prasad seva prarthana. Oh my Lord, this material body is a lump of ignorance, and the senses are a network of past leading to death. And of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. It is very difficult to conquer the tongue in this world. But you, my dear Lord Krishna, are so very kind to us. You have given us this nice prasadam, sanctified food, Bhagavat prasad. Now let us take this prasadam to our full satisfaction. That's swad, full satisfaction. And in so doing, glorify their lordship, Sri Sri Radha Govinda. And in love, prema dako. And in love, call out for the mercy and love and glance of Gaur Nitai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Mahaprasada Ki. Okay, where is it? So this is the honoring of prasad. So there's the action. We definitely taste the Mahaprasadam. And the more bhav we have, the more we taste. This is the trick. The more seva bhav, prasad seva bhav, love, feelings, surrender, mood. The more bhav we have, the more we can taste the prasadam. Look at Antya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you want to find out what prasadam really tastes like? You want to understand what prasadam really tastes like? Then read Antya Lila, where Radharani describes the taste of Krishna prasad. In Antya Lila, I can't remember the chapter just now, maybe 3 or so. Srimati Radharani is describing the fullest measure, the fullest experience of tasting naivedya swadya, swado, naivedya swado. The fullest extent of tasting Krishna prasad is described personally by Srimati Radharani in Antya Lila. Because when one is in Mahabhav, prasad seva Mahabhav, when one is in Mahabhav, like Radharani, then the person can really taste the Mahaprasadam. Because what is the taste of the naivedya? Or what is the taste of the Mahaprasadam? It is nothing less than the taste of Krishna's heart coming through his lips. The lips express the heart. When the heart is full of anger, then the lips curl in a certain way. Yes. But when you love someone, then the lips are doing their own thing. Lips are going in their own way to express the love to the beloved. It's called chumbitam. What is that verse we say in Dhammadharastakam? Mohush chumbitam. It's not, by the way, it's not kumbitam, it's chumbitam. For those that don't know pronunciation. Mohush chumbitam bimba rakta darame. Mohush bimba. What is it? Someone's kissing his cheeks. Yashoda's kissing his cheeks. Chumbitam. So Yashoda's expressing her vatsalya prema. The prema of her heart is being expressed through her mouth. Mohus chumbitam bimba rakta dharamme. She's kissing the cheeks of her Gopal. At first she ran after him with a stick to beat him. And then when he started crying and rubbing his eyes with his two hands, Karamboja Yugmena Shanta. Yugmena Kara. Kara Yugmena, the pair of Kara. Kara Yoga, Kara Yugmena. His two hands, he's rubbing his eyes, and his tears are mixing with his mascara or so kajal. And it's coming down in two black streaks. Oh, mommy, don't hit me. And then she sees his face crying and by him in fear. And she drops his stick and picks him up and cuddles him. Chumbitam. It almost sounds like when you say, when you make kiss, it sounds like chumbitam, chumbitam, chu, chumbitam, chumbitam, chu, chumbitam. So this is the fullest experience of honoring Krishna's prasadam as the taste of Krishna's lips, which is so poetically and beautifully described by Radharani and Yanti Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So tomorrow we'll discuss tasting the foot water. Padyaswado, Navedyaswado, Padyaswado. It's all about taste. Rasika Bhavuka. We are tasters. We are meant to become connoisseurs of ras, tasting the ras. Like we often, we've given a class once that we don't worship Bhagavan, we worship the sweetness in Bhagavan. Other Vaishnava Sampradayas, they worship Bhagavan Vishnu, Bhagavan Ram, the Sringa, the Rupam, the form, the Charitram, the character, the Leela, the grandeur, the power, the opulence, the mercy, the Kripa, the gifts. They worship all these things. Or the possible attainment they may attain, mukti, prapti, liberation. But we worship the sweetness inside Krishna. Madhurya Purushottam, Vena Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Leela Madhurya. Because seva is all about sweetness, and it's an exchange of sweetness. So our goal is the prem seva of Radha Govinda and Vrindavan. So that's all about sweet exchanges. And that sweetness is so beautifully depicted by Vallabhacharya in Madhurastakam. He says, Venu Madharam, Leela Madharam, Yamana Madharam. He says, your Venu Madharam. He says, Vadanam Madharam. Vadanam Madharam. Hasitam Madharam. He says, Vadanam Madharam. Your face is very sweet. Vadanam Madharam. He says, then your Venu, your playing your flute music is so sweet. Venu Madharam. Venu Madhara, Yamana Madhara. And your Yamuna is so sweet, and the sound of the dulcet sound of your flute is so sweet. So we worship that sweetness. We don't want liberation. We don't want power. We don't want money. We don't want position. We don't want liberation. We want sweetness, beauty, sweetness, and charm. That is all anyone wants. One can sacrifice everything in the world for the cause or for the sake of beauty, sweetness, and charm. And this is Krishna Murari. He is the embodiment and an epitome. He is the embodiment and the epitome of sweetness, beauty, and charm. We're not talking about money here. We're not talking about possessions. We're not talking about positions. We're not talking about power. We're not talking about mercy. We're talking about relish, pleasure, enjoyment. And Krishna is that supreme enjoyer of rasa, rasika, shekhar. And we are meant to take part in that ras by our surrender and our seva.